Israelites. I hope you all had a good Thanksgiving. You guys have a good Thanksgiving? Yes? All right, good. My wife cooks so much food. We've had like multiple Thanksgivings. So I'm like ready for Thanksgiving to be over now. But Ty always leaves his Snapple bottle. If you ever see Snapple bottles lying around the church, I just want everyone to know this was Ty Anderson, okay? Thanks, buddy. Yeah. I'll put this up here for you. Oh, that's not there. We'll put it on the communion table. So, yeah, it got so bad, like he was leaving Snapple bottles. I was finding them everywhere. I found one on the water fountain the one time. I found one in the bathroom the one time. And so I took all the recycling bins and I dumped it in his car. And yeah, it smelled pretty bad too. So, and then he went into my house with my wife's permission and put Snapple bottles all through my house. They were in my snowboard boots. There was one underneath my pillow, okay? And that one was just too much. So it's like, I love you, but I hate you. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting at verse 1. That had nothing to do with this, by the way. So 2 Corinthians 8, starting at verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that's been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now, finishing, doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out in what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, and there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. We're going to stop there. Now, I've been doing a series over the past few weeks. I think this is like week 9, although Pastor Phil and I, we've been kind of tag-teaming it a bit here, and he's been talking about the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I've been talking about this new command that we've been given, which is to love one another, that Jesus gave to us. He says, it's John 15, verse 12, and he says, and this is my command, that you love one another as I've loved you. And it's very simple. He made it very simple for us. He just didn't make it easy, because this is the Jesus type of love, and this is the way the church is meant to go. And so this is just so important. So I hope you've been enjoying this over the past season that we've been doing this, because I know seasons can get old. And speaking of things getting old, and maybe this is just me, but who here is tired of hearing Christmas music? Like, oh, yeah, okay, there you go. There's like a good portion of you, and I think that's good. And if those of you who are not tired of it, you're going to get tired of it, okay? I mean, we've just come into the Christmas season, and I'm already tired of Christmas music. And I think that stores, and don't get me wrong, I love Christmas music. I just don't like to hear it every day. And so I think that stores that sell seasonal merchandise and stuff. I think that stores that sell seasonal things, they should change their marketing tactics, okay? Because I don't want to walk into a store mid-September and look at Christmas decorations. Like, I don't, right? Do I get an amen? Please, right? Woo! We're preaching here, all right? And so, like, I don't want to walk into a store mid-September and be looking at Christmas decorations. Like, I don't want to be doing that. I walk into Home Depot, it's mid-September. My birthday's mid-September, okay? Just so you know. And so, like, I walk in mid-September and there's Christmas decorations already up. I'm like, what is wrong with this place, right? And it makes me sad. So, like, this needs to change because, I mean, summer doesn't officially end until September 20th, right? September 20th. It doesn't, and we're already celebrating Christmas. It's like Santa Claus has come into all the stores and puked all over everything, like, buy my products, right? And so there's Christmas decorations everywhere, and there's Christmas things and those blow-up inflatable things. And I just want to pop them. And this is crazy too, because apparently people are happier if you leave your Christmas decorations up and you celebrate Christmas every year. I don't think so. I think those people are just lazy not taking the Christmas decorations down. That's just me, and I think they're weird too. And if that's you, we still love you, but you are strange. So I think by the time Christmas finally rolls around, like, I don't want to be listening to Christmas music. And I've learned that what I have to do to kind of keep the Christmas spirit alive is I have to just not listen to the radio. Because my kids all want to listen to the radio, and my daughter Kaylin, for some reason, is, like, obsessed with Christmas music. She's one of those weirdos, right? And she's like, she's beautiful, but, like, she wants to listen to Christmas music all the time. And for me, like, if I hear another Christmas song, right? It's the most wonderful time of the year. Right now, it does not feel like the most wonderful time of the year because I've been listening to this stupid song over and over and over again. And if you love the Christmas songs, good for you. I love them too. I just don't like to hear them for 2 months straight, right? And so I gotta, like, limit how many times I go onto the radio. And please hear me. I love Christmas music. I love the decorations. I love the traditions. I just don't like 3 months of it, okay? 3 months of it, that's a quarter of the year, right? That's a long season to be involved in just all Christmas stuff. And I love seasons. I love the change of season. I think there's something beautiful in every change of season that takes place. But when you've had just weeks on end of the same season over and over and over again, it tends to get tiring. Like when summer vacation comes, right? I get so excited for summer vacation. And like, kids, we're going to be doing all these wonderful things for summer vacation. The kids are all excited, and they're home from school, and we go out, and we do all these fun things, right? But as the weeks kind of, like, every hot day, because it gets really hot here, right? As just, like, endless, like, hot weeks of hot days, it starts to get old, right? And the kids don't want to be outside because there's bugs, and then they come inside and they want me to entertain them, and I am not your entertainment center, okay? You can entertain yourself, please, all right? And then I start thinking, like, man, I can't wait for school to start, right? And then I'm like, am I a bad parent for wanting school to start? But do you guys feel me? Are you guys with me? All right, parents, you should understand this, because I didn't understand that commercial at first where the parents are like, you see the kids, and it's like the first day of school, and they have their backpacks on, and they look so sad and depressed, and they're waiting for their bus to come, and the parents are sitting in the lawn chairs, and they're toasting with champagne, like, woo, they're going off to school. It's like, I understand that now, right? It's wonderful. Love you. Absolutely love you, Karis. But, you know, and so, you know, that's what ends up happening. And then fall comes, right? And fall is just beautiful. The change of scenery, like, the leaves turn colors. I want to go hiking. But you know what gets old is all the leaves you got to rake. Like, that gets really old. And cleaning out your gutters, like, you know, I could not do with that. You know, I could do with not having to do that. And, like, over and over again. And so it's just like, okay, I can't wait for all the leaves to be down. I can't wait for winter to start because I like snowboarding. And so, you know, winter comes and the snow is beautiful and we're supposed to get snow today. And I'm, like, so excited, you know. And so maybe you're not, but I love snow. And then, like, because there's sleigh riding and there's snowboarding and there's snow forts and snowball fights and Judson making yellow snow, and it's great, like, you know, it's like, and, like, don't eat that stuff, you know. And so, like, snow, like, the snow is just beautiful. I just love it. And then, but over time, like, as you have to, like, you're salting stuff and you're shoveling stuff, and it's just like the endless winter days where it's so cold. Like, last year, it got so cold. I was downstairs in my basement using my wife's hair dryer just to thaw out some of the, because we've got bad insulation. So I'm thawing out some of the water pipes. It was so bad. They froze. So, like, that was crazy. And But I mean, and so you start longing for warmer days and sunshine and flowers and allergy season. Like, that's what you're expecting. That's what you're looking forward to. And so, like, things get old over time. It's like every season that you go into, it's just like it gets so old. And we go through this process. It starts all over again. Like, seasons get old and quick, and they get old very quickly, and not just in relation to the weather. Like, can you believe we're moving into 2020? Like, it's absolutely crazy that we're moving into 2020. And we're 5 years past when Marty McFly went to Back to the Future, right? And there's supposed to be flying cars, and there are no flying cars, and I'm deeply upset by that, okay? There should be flying cars, and there are none. And so, it's terrible. You know, and when I... Annie, you're great. You know, when I read the book of Ecclesiastes, I think that the book of Ecclesiastes should have been called Been There, Done That. Like, I think that's a much better title for the book because of the language that King Solomon is using. Because he's just saying everything is striving after the wind. Everything is vanity. There's nothing new under the sun. It's like, I've been there, I've done that. He even talks about all the different seasons in life that you can go through. There's a time for this and a time for that and a season for this and a season for that. And he's just like, I've been there, I've done that, I've gotten the t-shirt, everything's vanity, everything's striving after the wind. Like, what are we doing? And I don't know if you've felt like that before. You know, it's like, even sometimes, like, when I purchase a new music album, I'll fall in love with a song, right? And I'll be playing the song in my car or wherever I'm going, and over after a while, it's just like, okay, this song is getting old now, right? And I'll have it in my playlist, and eventually I'll be like, I'm gonna skip it now because it doesn't have the same effect that it did. It just got old. Like, some of the people up to me, it's like, why don't we play this song anymore? It's just because if I play that song one more time, I'm gonna bash someone over the head with my guitar, right? Like, I can't keep on playing the same songs like over and over again. I want a new song, right? And so it, like, changes that has to occur because things just get old. And this is why we have consumerism, materialism. People are always looking for something new, and not that that's wrong, but what is new, it can get old quick. And people go searching after so many different things, looking for that new. It's going to make them feel happy. If I just had that, if this new thing were just to happen, then I'd be happy. And they're happy for a moment, and then it just gets old. And there's nothing wrong with new. Like, change can be good, and change can be necessary. But even when the external circumstances change, or there's a new season, it doesn't automatically translate to an internal change of heart. It maybe does temporarily. This is new and it's exciting, but then it gets old. That's how things go. And we go through year after year, season after season. And our hearts can get lost in the mundane and the monotony of life. You with me? My job is getting old. My marriage is getting old. And slowly we end up kind of just going through the motions year after year, season after season. And it's that feeling we get when things are getting old, it tells us that something needs to change. A change needs to take place, but if we aren't careful with our hearts, we can end up letting our love grow cold. And slowly you kind of just, you lose that loving feeling, right? I started singing that at the last church. I won't do that to you. Yeah. Okay, whoa, that loving feeling. Okay, now it's gone. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. But the Jesus way, which is now called Christianity, used to be called the way. It was the way forward for the world. It's all based on love. And when you live a life where you just start going through the motions, you can end up losing what's meant to propel you and propel the world forward, which is love. I mean, Paul writes, the love of Christ compels me, controls me, dictates my actions. Love does. But sometimes when you're kind of like in these seasons that just seem endless, or it's just like season after season, year after year, here comes another season. It starts new and it gets old real quick. We can kind of lose that loving feeling and what's meant to drive us forward in this world. You're meant to be the salt of the earth. You're meant to be the light of the world. And light doesn't mean to expose sin. Salt does not mean to preserve tradition. Salt speaks about flavor. Light speaks about color. And we are meant to be the color and the flavor of heaven to the world. But everything is meant to come from a place of love. And so it's really important that we guard our hearts and we don't lose that loving feeling. Are you guys with me this morning? And Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says this. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. You know, if you don't see your life going somewhere, it's not going to go anywhere. Like, you will just go through the motions. You will go season by season, year after year, if you have no vision for your life. And it says, where people cast off restraint, it means they get discouraged. And, you know, it also says in Proverbs, it says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Just have a plan for your life. Live with purpose in mind, because if you don't, and it could be the wrong thing, you could have completely the wrong plan, but it doesn't matter. You know what? I've had wrong plans before, but God, he just, when I have a plan, God has this way of directing our steps. He absolutely does. And so just have a plan for your life, because if you don't live with a plan in mind or a vision for your life, you are going to get discouraged. It's just going to be one year after another, one season after another. It starts new, you're all happy, and then it just gets old. And then you lose that loving feeling. Change is good. It's great. But like, as year by, you know, year after year goes by, it can get discouraging. And I think that people end up going through the motions and getting discouraged when their life is seasonal rather than purposeful. You with me? Okay? People get discouraged when they live seasonally rather than purposefully. Proverbs 29, verse 18, if we can put that back up on the screen, he says, but blessed is the one who keeps the law. And according to that, that would be the law of Moses, okay? But we're a part of a different covenant. There's a reason why your Bible is split in two. There's the old covenant, which is your old Jewish scriptures, okay? Which you probably would never read had it not been for Jesus. But the new covenant that we have, which we celebrated this morning with communion, there's this new covenant that Jesus initiated. And the old covenant had 613 commandments. The new covenant has one command, which is what we've been going over for the past 9 weeks. John 15, verse 12, I want you to love people. This is my command. I want you to love people the way I've loved you. That's the command. And this word blessed, this is not the same scripture. Look how quickly that goes back. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed, that word blessed, whether you see this in the Hebrew or the Greek, here it's the Hebrew, it means happy. You're happy when you keep the law. We're not talking about the law of Moses. We are talking about the commandment that Jesus gave us, which means you are happy when you live a life that loves others. You can go living seasonally for yourself, looking for every new thing that comes your way that eventually would just get old. You can live seasonally, or you can live purposefully. And purposefully always lives with others in mind. Amen. This is my commandment, John 15, 12 through 13, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. I mean, this is the example that Jesus sets for us. It's always about how we give and how we demonstrate love to other people. You're not going to find happiness at all. You're not going to be blessed in your heart if you're just going to live seasonally, one day after another, looking for the next thing, looking for the next high, whatever it may be, looking for the next material item, whatever it may be that you're looking for. You're not going to be happy. In the end, it's going to be new. Whoop, it's going to get old really quick. But actually, what fills our lives and what gives us meaning and purpose in life, and what makes us happy, truly happy, is when we love love and we actually demonstrate that love towards other people, that's where you're going to find it. This is the Jesus way. It's not simple. I mean, it's very simple. It's just not very easy because you have to love like Jesus loves. And it's always, always about laying down your life for somebody else. When you're laying down your life for your spouse, when you're laying down your life for your kids, when you're showing compassion to the lost and to the broken and to the needy, this is where you'll discover happiness. This is not seasonal living. This is purposeful living. You weren't called to mark down days on a calendar. You were called to make a difference. You with me this morning? You know, I had a friend from this church who had a great testimony. I just wanted him to share it this morning. And so, Larry, would you come up? He sent me this email just about what's been taking place in his life, and I just wanted you to share this. And so, we planned this. So I'm not like calling him up on the spot. All right? Okay.
Good morning. We had Gateway had these midweek services, and where I am in my faith journey, I thought it was important for me to do that. I don't know why. Whenever I get in front of a church, I cry. I'm hoping I don't do that. But I was telling one of Emily's friends, I think I'm going to cry on Sunday. And she goes, be a man. Show other men they can cry. So I feel good. Plus, I thought if I tell a few jokes, it would be good too. But anyway, Pastor Sean and Pastor Phil had these wonderful messages. I was thirsty for the word, so one of the, and if I cry early, I won't cry at the end. One of the and I don't know why I cry, but that's a different story. Pastor Phil delivered a message that said, the closer and the more love we share for others, the closer we are to being Christ-like. Yeah. The more love we share with others, the closer we are to being Christ-like. Amen. And I love that. I thought about it. And I thought, well, I'm up for that challenge, you know? Who else wants to be Christ-like in here right now? Who wants to be more Christ? Everybody does, right? So I thought, well, that's going to be easy for me. I've been married 32 years. I love my wife. She loves me most of the time. I have four daughters. Emily's back there. I love my kids. That's easy. But somehow, I thought the Lord had something else in mind for me. So I said, what is it you want? Well, I struggled for a couple of days. That was on a Wednesday. On a Thursday, I kept hearing as I was praying. They're like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. So on Friday, I'm a program manager for a large company. I have project managers that are on my team. We have a weekly meeting. There's one particular project manager, let's call her Diane, that's not her real name, who is very hostile for me, towards me in the last year. Basically, everything I was doing, she was undermining. I prayed about it. I even brought it to the Connect group. I was going to do a shout out to April and Chris. It's a fantastic Connect group. We prayed on it. Nothing was working. And this woman, Diane, I always cringe when she's on these calls. So we were talking about Monday and Tuesday's meeting. It's a meeting that I lead every 2 months for about 50 people. And we were talking about it, and she's like, oh, yeah, it's my birthday on Monday. And she said, I'm going to make a cake, and I'm going to make cookies. And I'm thinking to myself, who wants to do that? I mean, so I said to her, oh, don't worry about that. What I didn't realize was, after I hung up, that no one was going to bake this woman a cake or get her cookies. And it was, like, on me. So I had two problems. One, I didn't really like her because of what she did to me. And the bigger problem was I didn't know how to bake. And then I realized if I would have asked my wife over the weekend, could she bake a cake, that wasn't going to go over well. So I did something really easy. I went to Costco, and I got a cake. It was a 50-sheet cake. I know that Diane loves horses, so we put a beautiful horse on it. I'm cheap, so I went to the dollar store, got a balloon, got the card, and I was pretty excited about it. I didn't know why I said this at the time to her, but I said, we're going to do this. So Monday came along, we were 50 people during lunch. I did the kind of the wrap-up for the day, and I said, we have a very momentous occasion here. It's Diane's birthday, so we're all going to sing happy birthday to her. And we had 50 people really belt out happy birthday to her. It was amazing. I gave her the balloon. Everybody signed the card. And I thought, that was pretty cool. So I brought Diane over to the cake. I said, hey, it's your birthday. Oh, I also affirmed her, talked about how, because she does do a lot of good. I found out later that the reason why she was hostile to me is because she wanted my job. She thought she could do it better. And truth be told, she probably could. She had more experience than me, but I was the one that was picked to lead the project, so not my fault. Anyway, she kept thanking me over and over and over again. And I was like, enough already. And then I realized she told me, no one has ever done this for me ever before. Wow. She's had 20 years with the firm. And I was really touched by it. After the third time, I wanted to say to her, stop telling me that. It's over, okay? But I didn't. And so what it made me realize that, like what Pastor Sean and Pastor Phil talked about, it's easy to love people that love you, but how difficult it is for people that you don't love. So for me, it was just a real growth experience. So what I want to leave you with here, this is not worth crying about. Well, maybe it is. I don't know.
Be a man.
Be a man. I'll be like Dr. J.
Yeah.
I just want to leave you with, you know, we have a God of love, of unconditional God of love. We have a God of forgiveness, but we also have a God of transformation.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And you said, Larry, that it's your relationship with her has vastly improved since then, correct? Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. You know, I think that the way that we love other people, it breathes new life into those relationships. You know, if you're going to bring love to your workplace, it's going to breathe life into your workplace. It's the way we love and we serve our spouses. It breathes life into our marriages simply by the way that we love people. And I just think that seasonal living, if we're just going to live day in, day out for ourselves and just becomes the seasonal thing, seasonal living will kill you. Purposeful living, it breathes life into every season that we enter into. And I think that our purpose can change, but the overall focus of that purpose it remains the same. It's like ever, there's so many different callings and things, that destinies that are upon people's lives. But overall, we as a church, the way forward for the world that we're meant to lead, you're meant to love other people. You're meant to love your neighbor as yourself. This is what you've joined. This is the Jesus way. This is what you're a part of. This is what you chose. So this is what you're a part of, and this is what we're meant to do. We're meant to lead the world forward with love. And it's all always, always about loving your neighbor. And if you want to know who your neighbor is, you just look to the person next to you. Your neighbor is literally the person adjacent to you, okay? And your neighbor doesn't have to look like you, okay? Thank God, right? You know, your neighbor doesn't have to, he doesn't have to look like you, he doesn't have to act like you, he doesn't have to think and believe like you. That's not what this is about, okay? This is simply just about loving the person adjacent to you. It's laying your life down for them. And this is the example that Jesus gave for us. And so your neighbors, they're waiting for you at your workplaces. Your neighbor are waiting for you at your jobs. My neighbors are waiting for me at Wegmans, okay? They're there. They're waiting for me. I just know it, right? And so I have to love people even though they leave their shopping carts in the middle of the aisle. Like, I'm going to love them regardless, okay? And this is what it's all about. It's always, always about how we love people. I'm almost done. And this part may hurt your feelings. I'm just going to get a little bit more specific. Jesus said that the new command he gave was supposed to love one another. We're one anothering one another, right? And I just think that the greatest form of love, one anothering, it comes in the form of generosity. Generosity, it speaks to people. When you go out of your way, like even just going to Costco's, right, and picking up a huge cake, when you go out of your way to show generosity to people, people take notice. They do. I mean, the way that people are going to understand that you're actually a disciple of Jesus is not by your love for God. It's not by how often you go to church. It's not by how often you pray. It's not how you worship. What people are impressed by is how you love, and generosity, it speaks to people. And if you leave here today, and you go out for lunch, and you don't tip the waitress big, you better not be wearing the Gateway Church hoodie. I will take that back from you, okay? I will take it off your back, and then I will not give you a refund. The refund will go towards the waitress that you gypped, okay? All right? I am serious about this. I will hunt you down, all right? That's why I will never give out Gateway Church bumper stickers, because I don't trust your driving capabilities, okay? Because I don't trust mine either, all right? We're meant to be the salt and the light of the earth, people, please, okay? And it's always, always about being generous. You know what? We should be the biggest tippers. And it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if the waitress has been a good waitress or not. Maybe she's had a bad day. It's not about, well, we'll wait for her to get her act together. No, Jesus didn't wait for us to get our act together. He got his act together. We love because he first loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ dies for us. For God so loved the world. And we forget the so. He so loved the world. He gave. He sets the example for us. It's always about generosity, because when we look through the scriptures, we see that sacrifice and being just the generosity, it speaks volumes to people, the way people love. And you can be generous in so many different ways. I'm spraying. It's just holy water, though, okay? So, like, the way that we show generosity, we could show generosity with our words. We could show generosity with our time and our energy. We could show generosity with financially as well. But let's be people. I think generosity is a reflection of righteousness. You know, Pastor Phil brought this great message. It was a real eye-opener for me, too, because this word, the Tzedek, it's Melchizedek in the Bible, it's king of righteousness, right? The Tzedek was the one who went down into the abyss, and he pulls people out. And we can do that with our generosity. We can pull people out of deep, deep, dark places simply through showing generosity. Love always means as much as it costs you. You with me? Love always means as much as it costs you. Love is a costly thing. It costs Jesus everything. This is the example that he set. And we as a church, this is what enables the church to move the world forward. It's simply through generosity. Generosity is a reflection of righteousness. And you know, Jesus says, they quoted Jesus in Acts 20:35. He says, it's more blessed, is that word blessed, which means happy. In all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, is more blessed, happy to give than to receive. You know, they've been doing studies on this recently, just proving Jesus right once again, that people are happier in the giving than you ever could get by the getting. You'll discover more happiness in how you give and how you're being generous and how you're loving other people than you ever could by just simply receiving and receiving and looking for the next new thing that's coming your way. Don't live seasonal. Live purposeful. And, you know, something my wife said to me this past week, which I thought was so good, so I am quoting her, because we're moving away from seasonal living to purposeful living. But purposeful living, it starts with purposeful giving. Isn't that good? I just love that. Purposeful living starts with purposeful giving. It's the way you give. It's the way you're going to, with your words, with your heart, with your time and your energy and your resources. It's a reflection of righteousness. It's a reflection of love. You guys with me this morning, please. And I just think that we need to take purposeful living and purposeful giving seriously. We're here to impact lives. And generosity is what gets people's attention. And so in this chapter here that I read, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, what's so interesting about it is here's this church. Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, but he's talking about the churches of Macedonia. And the churches of Macedonia are all poor. They're broke. And this is that they're begging earnestly for the favor of giving. And if they're begging to give, it most likely means that Paul's saying, hey, guys, you probably shouldn't give, okay? And because it says in a severe test of affliction, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, and as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. You know, I have never met anybody earnestly begging to give. Have you? I've never seen that before. You know, when I look at something like this, and I read this, I'm either wondering, like, do these people have a few, like, loose screws in the head? Or do they not know how to balance a checkbook? Or do they not understand the economics and the financial situation that they're in right now? Or maybe it's that they just know something that I just don't know. Right? Like, what do they know that I don't know? What do they understand that I don't understand? And it always comes back to what Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And, you know, and he goes on, Paul, and he writes this, and he says, this is from 2 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 6. He says, the point is this. Basically, with everything that he's written, here's the point. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. If you're going to be stingy, you're going to get stingy back. And whoever sows bountifully, if you're going to give generously, will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as is decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. You know, the motivation behind what you're giving and your generosity, and we're not just talking about here in the church, but in the people in the world around us, may it come from a place of love. Don't give out of fear. Don't give out of guilt. Don't give out of manipulation. We always, always give from a place of love. The only thing that matters, the only thing that counts, is faith expressing itself through love. May your giving mean something to you. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, when we give, even here at the church, man, it'd be awesome if we had a lot of like yahoos and yippies, okay? Woo! We're giving, all right? It doesn't feel that way, though, when we give, does it? Because we don't see purpose. We see season. Oh, this is the season I'm in right now. We don't look at purpose. And God is able. Everyone say, God is able. Do you believe that? And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. That's a lot of every's and all's. As it is written, he's distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower, God supplies seed to those who are sowing. He doesn't supply seed to those who are withholding. He supplies seed to those who are sowing. That's the only way you get seed. It's by living open-handed. And bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. That's because generosity is a reflection of righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous. The purpose of enrichment is generosity. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of the service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. The way you give, it only doesn't produce thanksgiving here. The way we're kind to other people, the way we're generous towards other people, you're making thanksgivings to God out there. You guys with me? You know, even in what you do give here, because sometimes people are just so busy. And so it's like, how do you discover purpose? Even, and I'm not just talking about giving here, I'm talking about also the way we give out there. But in giving here, you're financially partnering with us in our purpose to be a blessing to those around us. Your giving here, I mean, for example, we have missionaries in India that we support. One by the name of Thomas Chacko, and he ministers primarily with widows and orphans. Your giving here produces thanksgivings over there, right? We have ministers who are planting churches in New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. And your giving here enables those plant churches to take place. And so your giving here is producing thanksgiving, not just here, but in the world around us. That's what this ministry does. And you're impacting children's lives with all the curriculums. Everything costs something. And so I'm just saying, let's not be a people that live seasonally, who think seasonally. Let's be a people who think and live purposefully. Let's be a people who are generous. This is the Jesus way. And the way of love and what gets people's attention is generosity. You guys good? I mean, some of the people that, like I said before, love always means as much as it costs you. And there have been people in my life, particularly Pastor Phil and Linda, who've laid down their life for me. They've demonstrated love in a way that nobody else has. They're my parents. And so I just want you to recognize that you can make a difference and an impact in people's lives simply through the way you give. This is the Jesus way. This leads the world forward. Amen. Let's stand. Let me pray for you. If we have the worship team come up to the front.